Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Christian Macario, senior technical professional at MathWorks, where he leads the global strategy for the semiconductor segment. With a background in electronics engineering and over 15 years of experience spanning semiconductor design, verification, and strategic marketing, Christian bridges engineering and business to help customers innovate using MathWorks tools. Welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Thank you, Daniel. It's great to be here.
So, Christian, many semiconductor engineers first encountered MathWorks during their university studies. In what ways are simulation and modeling tools, such as those from MathWorks, relevant to their work in the semiconductor industry today?
Well, we see the modeling and data analysis tools such as MATLAB and Simulink turning very useful when it comes to defining the architecture of semiconductor IPs, especially when it comes to mixed signal IPs. You might have heard of Simulink. That's a tool for modeling and simulation. And it, for instance, it allows to model both continuous time and discrete time components. So that means that you can easily model analog and digital together at the very early phases of your design flow before having a netlist. And this helps validate your architecture before committing to silicon. Another area where data analysis tools like MATLAB can help is in analyzing circuit level simulations and lab measurements.
Right. And what specific industry trends are driving the shift towards early behavioral modeling? Is this adoption being led by certain segments such as AI, 5G, or automotive?
Well, we see a rising complexity of semiconductor devices, and nowadays engineers often need to optimize the interactions between analog and digital. From my point of view, this is driven by mainly two trends. One is AI and AI data centers, and the other one is the rising integration between the analog world, the real world, and the digital world. When it comes to AI and AI data centers, nowadays data centers need to move a large amount of data at a very high speed. And for this, they need very efficient high-speed interconnects, which are typically service-based. And they typically incorporate mechanisms like adaptive equalization, which is mainly about compensating some analog effects with some digital algorithms. And designing such systems requires to find the right mixed signal architecture and to choose the right equalization schemes and digital algorithms. And for this, architectural and behavioral modeling is key. The other trend I mentioned is the integration between the digital world and the real world, which is actually analog. Well, we see this everywhere, right? In cars, with automated driving, in smart homes, IoTs, and so on. All these systems, they need the devices such as ADCs and sensors. And also these kind of devices, they need tight integration between analog and digital. You can think of an accelerometer sensor mounted on a car which is running on a bumpy road. You need quite sophisticated signal processing algorithms to extract some valuable information from the sensor. So again, here, architectural modeling are key to find the right mixed signal architecture and the right compensation and equalization algorithms.
And how is the speed for high-speed data transmission influencing the shift to this modeling approach?
But, you know, as data rate increases, engineers need to go beyond the circuit level approach. They typically need to incorporate techniques from wireless communication like advanced adaptive equalization, which is, again, about using a digital algorithm to compensate for channel effects that change over time. And this needs a tight interaction between analog and digital. And architectural modeling allows to choose the right topologies and identify bottlenecks up front. But if you think about this, MATLAB and Simulink, they originally come from the control theory and signal processing domains. And this makes them good tools to deal with analysis and simulation of systems which include feedback loops and signal processing algorithms.
And how does early behavioral modeling address the complexity of mixed signal interactions in advanced semiconductor designs?
Well, it mainly allows to look at the design from a system level perspective and analyze and simulate analog and digital paths together since the very early design phases. So before you have a netlist for the analog paths and RTL for the digital components. So now tools like Simulink, they allow to do continuous time, to model continuous time components and discrete time components. So they are well suited for this purpose. What we also see recently is that engineers also model the environment around the semiconductor IP to validate the architecture. What I mean is that, for instance, for high-speed data links, you want to model transmitter, receiver, as well as the channel. And for a sensor, you want to model the environment that's going to be around the sensor to be able to generate some realistic scenario, some realistic stimuli for the architecture and validate it deeply. So, for instance, recently we have been publishing a technical article with NXP Semiconductor describing how they have been modeling realistic driving scenarios to validate the architecture of their radar transceiver. Yeah, all these approaches allow to validate the architecture before committing to silicon and minimize the risk of architectural issues.
Okay, so how do engineers ensure that the behavioral models are sufficiently accurate and representative of the final silicon?
That's a great question. We can think of three modeling phases, each of them having different needs for accuracy. The architectural phase, the pre-silicon phase, and the post-silicon phase. In the architectural phase, that's where the mixed signal architecture is being defined. So typically, engineers start modeling the different components in an ideal way, and then step by step, including non-ideal behaviors. And these non-ideal behaviors, they typically come from previous projects, from the experience, or from some data about fabrication process. That's all you can do at this stage, right? Since you don't have a netlist yet, at least in most of the cases. And the outcome of this phase is the design specification for all the various components of our system. During the pre-silicon phase, well, that's the phase where the different components are being implemented. So the analog component in terms of netlist and the digital components in terms of RTL code. In this phase, you typically want to align your architectural models with the implementation. So for instance, if you have AC curves for some analog components, you can do some data analysis to extract poles and zeros and ensure that in your architectural models, you have the right poles and zeros in place that reflect the real implementation of these components. If you have no linearities, you can make a polynomial fit for these non-linearities and feed it to the architectural model so that to ensure again the alignment between the architectural description of your system and the netlist. And this allows you to refine your architecture if needed. If you're lucky, you might even be able to relax some specifications and some requirements. In other cases, you might figure out that you would need some more advanced digital compensation algorithms to compensate for some analog effects that you were not expecting. Finally, in the post-silicon phase, you want to ensure the correlation between your architectural models and your silicon. So what you do is that you take measurements from the lab, from your characterization, and ensure that your architectural models correctly represent the silicon. And after you do that, what engineering teams typically do, or semiconductor companies typically do, is to exchange these with their customers as a form of executable specification. We see mainly two formats for these models. For SerDes systems, it's typically exchange what's called IBCMI model, which is a standard for describing this kind of devices. And for the other kind of components like ADCs, sensors, etc., what we see is Simulink models being exchanged. For instance, if you go to Analog Devices website, you can see a big catalog of Simulink models for ADCs, sensors, and many of their devices.
And what are the potential risks if early behavioral modeling is skipped or poorly executed? I mean, how do companies mitigate those risks during the design process?
Well, if you don't do architectural modeling well, especially nowadays, the risk might be suboptimal design. So you might end up over-designing some parts of your system or having some incompatibilities, so some functional issues in maybe some corner cases. Or you might run into delays typically due to some architectural issues found late in the design flow and having to go back to the architecture, redefine it and redesign your and update your design. And even silicon respins could be caused by poorly executed architectural modeling.
How early in the design cycle can engineers effectively use behavioral modeling to identify potential issues with mixed signal interactions or performance bottlenecks?
Well, basically, as soon as requirements are available. For instance, if you use Simulink as a modeling platform, Simulink offers a big catalog of building blocks for analog components like filters, charge pumps, prescalers, and so on, and also for digital components like digital filters, FFTs, and many DSP, digital signal processing algorithms typically used, commonly used. And this allows engineers to quickly build their architecture and start their design space exploration. And then over time, they will be able to add non-ideal behaviors like non-linearities that we discussed previously, noise, and so on. And moreover, for commonly designed systems such as analog to digital converters, PLLs, and chips, IPs for various service standards, reference design are available to help engineers jumpstart their design and the architecture explorations.
Final question, Christian. How do MathWorks tools handle the transition from early behavioral models to final transistor level design? What does the path look like from simulation to hardware?
That's a great question. Well, if you develop architectural modeling using Simulink, they can be reused within EDA simulators, both analog and mixed signal simulators, and digital simulators, RTL simulator, basically. And this is very helpful, especially what engineers are typically doing is to generate verification components from Simulink to be integrated within analog and digital simulators. For instance, if you have you can take a charge pump model in your architectural description and export it for analog simulators so that it can be used as a reference model. Or you can export this charge pump model as a model to be integrated into digital simulations. And in this case, it's a good way to bring analog models within digital simulation and do basically digital mixed signal simulations. Now, there are mainly two techniques that we offer for this purpose. One, as I was anticipating, is to generate or export system Verilog components or system Verilog classes from architectural models. And these components can then be integrated into analog or digital simulators as a behavioral models, basically. And the other technique is what we call co-simulation, where part of your system gets simulated within Simulink, so using architectural models, and the rest of it runs within mixed signal simulator or an RTL simulator, so using the real netlist or the corresponding RTL. All these techniques allow to avoid a duplication of effort, so you develop your models once in the very early stages of your design flow, and you reuse them throughout your design flow. And what's interesting is that this also enables better cross-team collaboration, because analog teams and digital teams are synchronized and are reusing the same architectural modeling.
Great. It's a pleasure meeting you, Christian. Great conversation, and hope to have you on again sometime.
Great. Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day. Thank you.